The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. It's time for another edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you today, and I've been racking my brain to try and come up with what exactly you need to know from me today. I think the purpose of the show has been pretty clear over the year and a half we've been doing it. Have come to you weekly with kind of pull out my soapbox and stand there and gesture and inflect and emphasize and try to get you to come to a place in your own mind to contemplate events and circumstances and understand, from my perspective at least, to give yourself the opportunity to do a lot of perceptive thinking to try to come up with your own conclusions. And I think looking back on the last year and a half from where we were mired in kind of a spinning wheel of absurdity, where a lot of people's different personal missions were being fulfilled at the expense of many of our citizens, where they were telling us that we have a great economy, but we are going to the grocery store and spending $75 for a bag of groceries that just 2 years ago cost like $40. Went to the gas pumps and saw that filling up your car was extremely more expensive, doing just about everything. Fees tacked on to every aspect of life. This reassurance that all is well was really a false prophecy. And I'm really proud of the American people recently for stepping up. So with all that being said, since we have kind of reached that point, and it's, again, I'm certainly not taking a bow. I think you would be hard pressed to find anything that I've told you in this year and a half that really has not kind of rang true and has not resonated with a lot of people. I wish I could feel personally responsible somehow, or even that I'd contributed to us kind of taking the important correction, of course, but you know, I'm in one of those modes here, and it always, I think, is probably in our DNA as we approach the end of another calendar year and you start to kind of look ahead to what's next. I am full of optimism that we might be back on the right course. You never know in this volatile world with so much going on and so much being developed and so much that is kind of unexplained behind the scenes. We're always under different kinds of threats and different instability situations for our security now, with all of the reliance and the interconnection of the whole world through technology. Artificial intelligence is the great undiscovered country right around the bend. Who knows where we're going to go? So I find myself today being less preachy and didactic. That's a good word. I'm always proud to whip that one out, which basically means preachy. I've kind of put those things aside today because I'm just kind of in already the year-end reflection mode, kind of trying to reassess where I am as an individual, where I fit into the scheme of things. And I've just got a bunch of random thoughts. So I guess what this need to know today is going to be is kind of the ultimate grab bag. So buckle your seatbelt. I may take you places that'll entertain you, maybe inform you a little bit, maybe give you a little bit of perspective. But this is just more of kind of my thoughts on this day that are resonating. And it really is not going to be the usual formula because I'm just in a different place today and have some things that I'm going to get off the top of my head. First thing I want to do is my bitch of the day. Many of you may realize, many of you may not. I was dealt a pretty bad card back in about 2011. I had an incident with my optic nerves, which are the basically antennas in the back of your eye socket. When your eyes take in a vision, it gets transmitted to that set of nerves that's called the optic nerves that basically is the transmitter to the brain. And I had some situations where I had been the ultimate dumbass. I'll just go ahead and be very frank with you, where I had probably not had any medical care, hadn't been to a doctor in many years. As I got a little bit more into the kind of middle age area, and you know, that complete, I felt fine. It isn't broke. Don't fix it. I don't need to be paying a lot of attention to all of those issues. And it really blew up in my face because I had extremely high blood pressure. I didn't realize that I felt fine. I didn't see any kind of disturbances in my way of doing things or how I felt. But it turned out that the blood pressure issue had gotten bad enough where I had an incident, to be very basic and not have to get into a lot of details. I was born with kind of a strange, shallow, what's called optic discs, which are the openings in the back of your eye where all your blood vessels and all your nerves, including the optic nerves that are the transmitters again to the, receptive areas of your brain. It was not as defined as some other people's, and it was a lot more convoluted. So I was prone to a condition called NAION, which is non-arteric ischemic optic neuropathy, which is basically not enough blood flow to service that area of your body, especially in high blood pressure situations where these are tiny little capillaries and little just minuscule tiny little vessels. And if your blood pressure was really high when you slept and your blood pressure dropped down appreciably, these areas would get starved for blood flow. And that's basically what happened. And I had an incident in my left side of my, I woke up one morning and had this big kind of black shelving kind of thing in my left eye vision. And it basically at first was misdiagnosed. And then they figured out what it was, that my optic nerve had had a bad rupture and had been denied blood flow. And a lot of that tissue died. So I'm still seeing, my eyes still are functional, but what transmits to the brain is not very effective. And I only had a 12% chance of this happening on both sides. I began to get treatment and blood pressure medicine and different things. But just 2 years after that first incident, I had a similar occurrence, not as severe on the opposite side, but basically a very low percentage chance. But good old Kip Kiefer hit the jackpot and had these problems on both sides. So my vision is a little diminished. I'll say a little diminished. I still am very thankful to be able, in real well-defined situations, like on my iPad or my laptop, if the screen can be reversed, if the background is dark and the letters are light, I can still see and read effectively, which has been a godsend because everything I do relies on that particular ability. But things like driving, I've not been really able. I could drive a car, but it's just not a good idea because as long as nothing ever happened, and if I was the only one on the road, I'd be fine. But anything that comes out of the ordinary, as we all know, in driving circumstances, is something that everybody, that's really the essence of driving, is to expect the unexpected and be able to react. I would never forgive myself if I tried to operate a car and had any kind of mishap that resulted in somebody else getting hurt or, God forbid, even killed. I don't think I could ever forgive myself for that kind of mishap. It's just not a good idea. So that's been the one tremendous sacrifice I've had to make to really kind of give up my freedom of mobility. Thank God for Uber and Lyft and the other rideshare things, which came along right about that time. But it's still not the same thing. I don't feel the freedom that I once did. So I'm a little bit more now in the closed in area, and it's something I've had to adjust to. But anyway, this is not the Poor Kip Kiefer show. I have not harped on this condition in my time that I've been afflicted with it. I have not let it define me. I have really been pretty defiant and forged on with exactly what I wanted to do. I still have the same job. I still do the all these media things and stay active in what I want to do. I just have not let, you know, I don't feel sorry for myself. Everybody, the longer you live, is dealt certain cards. I've got friends that have had knees and hips and all kinds of things replaced that are always have been in pain. I have not experienced any kind of pain in my life in terms of physical ailments. I'm still, in good shape in terms of, being able to have the rigors of walking long distances or anything physically that's demanded of me. So this is just the card I was dealt, and that's kind of the way I look at it. And I only tell you this because it is something that does tend to put me in situations where I'm not out in circulation as much as I'd like to be. But let me qualify that by saying I'm not one that is desperately in need of the company of others or of feeling like I have to be completely active at all times. So it's just been a balancing act a little bit, but it causes a lot more empty hours for contemplation. So I'm really closer to that kind of year-end reflection period right now. I feel like my work here for 2024 is pretty much done. The things that I believe in, the things that I was passionate about, I've talked about on this show every week for the last year and a half. And a lot of that's come to fruition. And now it's time to sit back and see what happens. So with all that being said, my bitch of the day is and I told you all the vision stuff because I was prefacing that. I'm very, very reliant. I don't believe in just turning on the TV and listen to somebody else drivel on and tell me what to think. I've made that clear to you on this show for a long time that is not the goal. I do not want to tell you what to think. I want to help you think for yourself by arming you with information that maybe you hadn't considered or maybe haven't come across. But I'm really getting into a period where I'm frustrated more and more every day because with my vision being subpar and my ability to be able to kind of discern and decipher different things, when I click on to a website or a place to get information, and the first thing that happens is some giant ad comes up, some pop-up that wants to divert me, consider doing this. Today, I'll give you an example. I like to check with my ESPN page because I have a lot of sports going on. I'm proud to say that I've got two programs here on weekends that focus on college football, Kip and Terry Game Time on Saturday morning and the morning after, and our eighth season on Sundays. Our shows on the weekend here on college football have been exceptional this year, especially these last couple of weeks leading up to the championship games on Saturday and on Sunday, the morning after yesterday, as we recorded on the following Monday now, yesterday on Sunday morning, that show, there's seven lines in the Jocks studios at 94.5 FM Birmingham here. all seven lines lit up from the moment we came on the air at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. This is Sunday morning now, not exactly prime time for talk radio. All seven lines lit up when we came on the air yesterday, and all seven lines absolutely full for the entire course of the 2-hour show till we signed off at 11 o'clock right before the college football playoff announcement. And I know a lot of you here locally are disappointed that Alabama was snubbed, left out, unfairly so, in my opinion, but that's another subject for another day. But the bottom line is we're doing great work and it's very satisfying. And, but, you know, in the larger scheme of things, one of the places that I'm really struggling with today is just trying to kind of assess all the things I do in my professional career, because I have a real job as the executive director of the Birmingham Racing Commission. We got a lot going on there right now. And that stuff takes up a lot of my time, of course, because it's my predominant job. But all of my media enterprises, all the different things that I'm involved in, you just kind of wonder, and maybe again, it's too many empty hours, it's too much time kind of sitting around, but you wonder about, you know, why am I doing this? What kind of impact am I making? Any at all? Or is this just me having some kind of outlet to exercise my time? What's it all about? I mean, what's the purpose? Is it purposeful? Is it benefiting anyone? Is it paying off in any way? You really don't hear a lot of the feedback or the impression you're making or not making. So it especially when a lot of my time spent in sort of isolation, exile, I guess you can say. And it's governed a lot by circumstance, but it's also a lot of my own doing because, I've just never been anybody who, you know, needs to be out and about all the time. But the time of reflection in these circumstances is something that I don't know if it's really a good thing or a bad thing. When you're in love with doing what you're doing, in love with pursuing your passions, pursuing your dreams and what you desire, and frankly, you know, when you're in love with someone else and you're kind of left alone, it really kind of causes you to have a lot of time for reflection and perception and just trying to kind of make sense of it all. Is it worth it? You know, why am I doing this? Why am I thinking this way? Why am I built this way? So I've got a lot of those kind of thoughts on my mind today. And I understand if you're tuning in and you want to hear my usual political rantings, the pop-ups, as I mentioned, are just maddening because it keeps me from getting to where I want to be. And a lot of times I can't figure out how to get rid of the stupid things to kind of start and kickstart all the things that I need to kind of get the perception I need to function every day. So I had two different ones this morning right off the bat. One of them on my ESPN site, some kind of Disney solicitation, and I am not high on Disney right now. I think it is a perfect example of a corporation that's gotten way out of its lane. It's lost its way. It's become this kind of holier than thou. This is how you should think. This is how you should feel. We're going to change all the things that we are noted for to try to reflect our new kind of woke modern day vision. I'm not big on Disney. The last thing I want to do is see a solicitation, and there's no place to escape from this thing. The only outlet is push this button for a sneak preview. I don't want a damn sneak preview. I don't want to see it. I'm not interested in it. Whatever they're selling me, some kind of whole entertainment package, I've got more things in my little world here in terms of entertainment I can access and all these different services. And there's 500. It drives me absolutely crazy that ball games now are not on regular networks. They're on all these weird places that I have them, but I really don't know how to get to them, whether they're on Hulu or Prime or, Amazon, or I guess that is Amazon Prime. But YouTube, there's ball games on all these bizarre places. So I don't need a more complicated world at this stage. And so that's my bitch of the day. The other thing that I will say that is topical is with the coming agenda, the Trump administration coming in, really turning the page, going to overhaul government, going to do what the most logical thing is: secure our border and keep people from pouring into our country illegally, which I don't care how you defend it. It's against our constitutional provisions. The Constitution says you have to enter the country legally. And if you come in the country illegally, you are not allowed. You're not supposed to be here. You're certainly not allowed to participate in our society as a voter. You're certainly not supposed to be able to be receiving all of these benefits and taxpayer funded handouts. People aren't coming here for a better life. People are coming here because there's a bunch of free shit. And it's really frustrating to hear these liberals, mayors mostly, but governors also, saying that when this policy the first policy is not only closing the border, but is to get out of this country this gigantic criminal element, which some experts even are saying is in the hundreds of thousands of people that have either been already convicted of a violent crime, already accused or indicted for a violent crime, that are still walking the streets here, and people that are taking part in all these organized gang activities, whether it's MS-13 or Tren de Agua. Tren de Agua was a prison gang in Venezuela. Well, Venezuela basically emptied all of their jails and sent all those people to America. So we have imported all of this criminal element who now are set up in almost every major city, including New York, all the way out to Denver and points beyond. And they are conducting organized crime activities, robberies, shoplifting, credit card fraud, all kinds of things. We don't need to import hundreds of thousands of criminals. There's really no defense. And yet these people stand up and say, when Trump says, okay, the first thing we're going to do is seal the border and get these people out of the country, what in the world is the motivation for some mayor or governor to say, well, we're going to protect our residents? You're not going to come in here and take these people out. What the hell is that all about? We want to have these criminal gangs in our country. We want people have be carjacked and mugged and robbed and murdered. We want our young college students like Lake and Riley in Georgia out on a jog to be attacked and have her skull bashed in by an illegal invader to our country from a convicted felon in Venezuela. It's just absolutely absurd. What is the motivation? What is the political, Gavin Newsom saying, well, this is going to be disastrous deporting these people because you're going to see prices go through the roof, because who's going to do the labor and cultivate the crops and pick fruit and all that stuff? This just in, Gavin, people in criminal gangs in big cities aren't going to be picking fruit. That's not the target. It's getting this criminal element out of this country. And when mayors and governors stand up and say, we are not going to cooperate with ICE and the federal government in rounding up these criminals, these convicted felons, and getting them the hell out of our country, that makes no sense whatsoever. So that's my only rant of the day. That's what's been on my mind. I want to conclude with some things to kind of give you a little bit of a perspective of where I am. And a lot of the things that I really kind of lean on are things that you probably would find kind of interesting. There's a Billy Joel song, one of a really very obscure song, wasn't a hit at all. But I think it really sizes up kind of where I am right now. And the lyrics of the first verse and the chorus go like this. While in these days of quiet desperation, as I wander in this world in which I live, I search everywhere for some new inspiration. But it's more than cold reality can give. If I need a cause for celebration or a comfort I can use to ease my mind, I rely on my imagination and I dream about imaginary times. And the chorus is, oh, and I know that everybody has a dream. Everybody has a dream. This is my dream, my own, just to be at home and to be all alone with you. It really is kind of where I am right now. All the empty hours, all the times of contemplation, in these times of quiet desperation, a perfect line. I also lean on all some of my favorite anecdotes, stories, movie scenes. I thought I'd share a couple of those with you. There was a Ronald Reagan speech way back when there's a lot of Ronald Reagan speeches that were classic, but I always thought this one was funny, and it really doesn't apply to my situation as much, but I think it's a great commentary on where we've been as a country and where I've been as an individual talking about our country. Reagan was addressing a crowd. He was in a tux. I don't know what the event was, but he said a lady rushed into a bridal shop one day, kind of a more, you know, older, you know, middle-aged kind of lady, and said, I need to buy a wedding dress. And the lady goes, oh, okay. What kind of wedding dress? She goes, you know, the full thing, the whole white thing, the train, the veil, you know, all of the trimmings, the traditional all white wedding dress. And the sales lady goes, well, I don't want to offend you, but you look, this is your first marriage. She goes, no, this will be my fourth. And she said, well, you know, that the, what you're describing is typically more geared towards somebody in their first wedding. You know, that, so the lady goes, well, you know, this is what I want because I know what you're inferring, that I'm not innocent enough to wear all white, but I assure you I'm as innocent as anybody out there, that's in the market for one of these. And the lady said, well, please explain it. She said, well, my first marriage, my husband was so worked up and the excitement of the day was too much for him. When we checked into our honeymoon hotel, tragically, he suffered a cardiac and passed away. So my second marriage, she said, we got married. We were in the limo heading for the reception and we got into a terrible fight at the next stoplight. I got out of the car, slammed the door, never saw him again, got the marriage annulled. She goes, well, what happened in the third marriage? And she said, oh, that one, that one just ended after 4 years. I married a Democrat. And the Democrat that was my husband, every night came into the bedroom, sat on the edge of the bed, and told me how great things were going to be. It just makes me laugh to think that story. So she was going to go to the traditional route for her fourth marriage because the Democrat kept telling her how great things were going to be. That one makes me laugh every time, and I always like telling it. Another one of my favorites is Winston Churchill's story back when he was, the Prime Minister of England during the Great World War II, and his leadership and grit and never give up attitude is what propelled the British people through an absolutely nightmarish situation. But he had a lot of political opponents, a lot of people, just like we have today, wanted to kowtow to Hitler and the Axis powers and kind of give them everything they wanted. And of course, Churchill was just absolutely defiant. One of his chief political opponents was married to this real official kind of, you know, royalty, you know, duchess or something. And he was actually at a reception at her home for meetings with her husband, a political opponent, and others. And she could not hide her contempt for him. And he said, "Madam, I get the idea that you don't care for me very much." And she said, "Mr. Churchill, if you were my husband, that tea I just served you probably would have poison in it." And he said, "Madam, if I was your husband, I would most surely drink it," which I always thought was a hilarious line. Another thing that kind of shaped that sizes me up, and again, that's just a grab bag. If you're just tuning in, you're going, "What the hell is he talking about?" I'm just saying some things today that I enjoy. I'm trying to get the right perspective as we drive into the end of the year. There's a movie called Broadcast News, which is one of my all-time favorites. It's got three fantastic characters. Holly Hunter plays this kind of crazy, obsessive, brilliantly talented person who just can't fit in. William Hurt plays a guy who's all flash, no substance, just an aspiring anchor man who really just reads everything that he says, but doesn't really know anything. And Albert Brooks, who plays this just delightful, complicated guy that can do anything, is just multi-talented. But again, just another kind of misfit because just the way he conducts himself and the way he thinks about things is so unusual. And all three characters, it's funny because I identify personally with proclivities of their personality from all three. But there's a scene in the movie that is one of my all-time favorites because it puts in perspective, and I'm not saying this to be arrogant, but there's just a certain frustration you get for having a certain kind of personality and a certain kind of belief in your own intellect and just the constant quest for knowledge. But there's a scene where all of the crew from this news organization in Washington are at a reception, and a big breaking news story happens on a Saturday afternoon, and they've got to rush back to the studio to put together a special report. And the big wig boss from New York happens to be in Washington for this event, and he takes charge to organize the team that's going to put this special report together that centers on some kind of a naval attack in Libya by some fighter jets on an American force. Anyway, that's not the important thing. He's putting the team together, and he's barking out who's going to be needed, and he doesn't mention the Albert Brooks character, who's the best reporter and probably the most knowledgeable guy on the subject, because again, he doesn't really have any flash. The network TV people don't really think he's very charismatic. So he wants to use the William Hurt character, who knows nothing, to be the anchor of this special report. And Holly Hunter, who's going to be the executive producer of it, pulls this big executive outside and says, you are just making a terrible mistake. You can't give this job to him. He's just not ready for it. He's, you know, we need to use someone else. And the executive says, "Well, I don't agree. We think this is a great opportunity for him to have his coming out and really establish his credibility." And she said, "Well, you're just it's the wrong decision." And he says to her, "You know, it must be nice that you're always right. So I'm right and you're wrong." And she can't say it. She just kind of nods her head. And he goes, "It must be wonderful to always believe that you know best, to always think that you're the smartest person in the room." And the camera goes tight on Holly Hunter, and she looks at him with this look in her eyes, and she says, "No, it's awful." That line has resonated with me for so long in so many meetings when I was in my 20s with all these guys that had been in the gaming and racing business and for all their years, all my circles, all my time in media, always kind of getting that same kind of thing where, you know it all. But if you are in that area where it's the ultimate frustration when somebody will say you think you're the smartest person in the room, and in most cases you know that's the case, it's not the easiest way to kind of conduct your affairs. I got to wrap it up, but I wanted to mention a couple other things. The fantastic movie, The Shawshank Redemption, always is something that I have affinity for because some of the great lines in there, like when after a particularly rough go, the main character is telling Morgan Freeman, it all comes down to a simple choice: get busy living or get busy dying. And it's such an amazing thing because Morgan Freeman goes on to tell him, I don't think you're being very smart to be hoping you're in here and everything else is out there. And Morgan Freeman says, you know, these walls are funny. When you first get here, you hate them. Then you get used to them. And after a while, you depend on them. And I kind of feel like that's sort of where I am right now. And I don't like being there. I would like to think that there's more in store for me than all this time of reflection and confusion. And a lot of you might be confused now. Why is he talking about this? I've tried to dispense some advice to you that might be helpful. I'm truly trying to kind of reach out for some therapy of my own today in kind of explaining, you know, where I am mentally. There's a scene too in Forrest Gump when Jenny finally comes back after all the years of Forrest being in love with her and her just snubbing his advances in thinking that, he's not what she's looking for. She doesn't know what she's looking for. She's been abused by her father. She's just a mess. She goes out to Hollywood, gets all involved in drugs, finally comes back. When she's got a terminal illness and marries Forrest because he's actually fathered her child. And there's the famous scene where they're out walking. They pass by the house that she was raised in with this abusive father. And she just goes into a rage. If you remember the scene, she runs up and grabs all the rocks that are surrounding the walkway and is throwing rocks with all her might at this house while just letting out all that frustration and aggression. And, you know, she finally crumples to the ground exhausted, and Forrest Gump is standing there and you hear him in the background saying, sometimes there are just not enough rocks, which is one of the classic things. A lot of you might be listening to this going, what is he talking about? There's just certain lines that resonate with me and always will resonate with me. And I'll conclude with this. Mick Jagger told us that you can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. Right now where I am in life, I have what I need. That's not a problem, in terms of, comfort and satisfaction and a wonderful family, unbelievably great sons that are doing fantastic things, more great friends than I could ever hope for. But the problem with Kip Kiefer in 2024, as we go into 2025, I'm not at the point where Mick was talking about, because right now I need what I want. And that's not a very good place to be. Really, it's a disastrous place because you're not in control of your own destiny when you need what you want. And that's kind of where I am and what I'm trying to wrestle with. I'm trying to have the right perspective, but I appreciate having the opportunity today to kind of articulate some things that are on my mind and to give you some things that resonate with me from different mediums of entertainment and my research and my reading and all the years that I have tried to make myself a more complete, more perceptive person. So hopefully there was a nugget in there somewhere, something that resonated with you. I appreciate the opportunity for me to turn the tables a little bit and talk to you, the listeners, today for a little therapeutic session of my own. I wish everybody the ultimate happiness. We'll be in touch, of course, over the next couple of weeks leading up to the Christmas season. It's been an amazing year in 2024, and I'm privileged to be here on TKR, coming to you on these programs on Need to Know. Don't have any promises for where I'm going to be next week, but hopefully we'll get back to some substantive things, because I just wasn't in that place today. So thank you for bearing with me. Have a fantastic week, everybody. God bless you all and your families in this joyous Christmas season.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.